Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Top of the morning to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Friday on B&E. Temperatures quite different than they were yesterday. The cold front is here. The rain overnight. Winds are up. Temperatures down about 43 degrees right now in the ATX. And yeah, happy St. Patty's Day to everybody out there. Hope you're ready for a fun Friday, even though it's a little chillier than it had been. We'll take it. We got basketball on the brain for sure. 16 games yesterday, 16 more today. Longhorns have advanced to the second round. Texas A&M has not. They went down to Penn State last night. The Longhorns now to zero their attention onto the Nittany Lions, who will tell you why it may. It's a good matchup in one regard for Texas coming up on Saturday night. Very same kind of team that has played last night. Very perimeter oriented. Play a lot of shoot a lot of threes. Guard dominated team in Penn State, just like we saw with Colgate last night. And the Longhorns had no trouble there with the Raiders. So we'll talk plenty of basketball, talking some football here from Dak Prescott coming up. Let you hear him, his first comments since the release of his best buddy Ezekiel Elliott this week by the Dallas Cowboys.
It's tough on him.
That's his guy. What was it T.O. once said? Remember Terrell Owens?
Oh, yeah.
That's my quarterback. About Romo? Remember he loved him some Romo?
Yes, he did.
Well, you know, love me some Zeke. Remember when they were on Hard Knocks and like, Dak got him like got Zeke, or who was it?
Did he get him a dog? One of those?
No, got him like a $15,000 piece of luggage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of those real nice bags, like those travel bags.
Thought he got him one of them fighting dogs or something. Oh, Zeke already had that dog. No, just to escape, right?
Yeah, Zeke's had some issues with his dogs that break out and bite people up there in the Metroplex. But now he's looking for work, looking for a new gig. And Dak is going to be handing it to Tony Pollard. He's also going to be handing it to Malik Davis, but will he be handing it to Bijan Robinson? A lot of Bijan Robinson chatter in the Metroplex and upon the release of Zeke. That hey, that's who we need. That's who we need. Pick 26. If Bijan's available, we talk about Dak Prescott needing more weapons, not less. I mean, Bijan would be quite a weapon. Because the one thing you know about Tony Pollard, he's not the biggest guy. He's never been asked to be, you know, carry the full workload of a running game. Even in college at Memphis, he was more of a receiver than a running back. Someone like Bijan, who is, you know, 220, but he can be your workhorse and he can be a, you know, complimentary player where you need him. That might be just the pick for the Cowboys.
If they do get him, do you think Bijan starts over Tony Pollard?
Well,
day one. Do you think he's a better running back than Tony Pollard is right now?
Well, I would say if you're
as a runner,
if
yes.
Your franchise tag player's not starting, that might be a problem if you're the Cowboys, but because the Cowboys put the franchise tag on Tony Pollard to keep him off of this weak running back market. But
Tony Pollard's still that specialty guy that can make those huge plays. And you run the special plays that you draw up on the board and say, this is the one that's going to work.
Like screens and stuff?
Yeah, or he makes them work. He makes those plays work.
Well, and look, I mean, it was. Here's the thing with Tony Pollard and Zeke. It was a different offense a lot of times when whichever one was on the field, right?
I agree with that.
When Zeke would come on the field, there'd be two, three tight ends. You know, it was kind of a power run game.
Yes.
When Pollard would come in, they'd, you know,
spread
one tight
out.
End, three receivers. He'd have more lanes to run through. But there was no doubt he was the more explosive player. I mean, he was a 6-yard-a-carry guy. Zeke was a, you know, 3.5-yard-a-carry guy.
Yeah, in the run game, I would think that if you got a guy – No, if you got Bijan, he would be better in the run game in general, but still Pollard is still that special guy out, and he's pretty damn fast.
And
now.
He's not, you know, he's not a small guy. I mean,
no.
He's 6'2", 210, and so he's well, but he's just never been asked to carry the workload of a run game. But I don't think the Cowboys are going to do that. The Cowboys, That was Zeke's role, but that's not the way the NFL works anymore. You don't, I'd say, unless you're Derrick Henry, you use 2-3 running backs who are good at certain things, and Bijan would be a nice one because we know Bijan also is a good weapon in your passing game. He'd be great in their screen game. But Bijan, I mean, I think at 26, the Cowboys are going to be in a spot to just take the best player available. And there's a very strong argument that when they get to 26, if Bijan Robinson's available, he's the best player available, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and for the Cowboys, they did enough this year when it comes to opening up lanes that still Zeke still didn't have that explosion, you know, that explosiveness, I mean, to get away from some of these guys. And those 12 or 8-yard runs where the guy like Bijan becomes 40-yard runs.
Sure.
You know, they don't trip him up. He just goes. I mean, the Cowboys weren't that bad, I didn't think, on the offensive line. I thought they did a good job opening up holes last year.
They were better. Remember, the offseason goal 1 year ago was to get more physical, to get tougher. And I think they accomplished that with the drafting of Tyler Smith, the tight ends they drafted in the later rounds, the Hendershots and the, you know, Jake Ferguson and some guys like that. They want to be a more physical team. And I think that's Mike McCarthy's been pretty clear that that's really one of the things he wants. He liked that Kellen Moore liked to light up the scoreboard, but he wants to run the damn ball.
Yeah, and as you said, they need weapons, and they need weapons. They don't. You can find a goal line runner, although Zeke, once again, to me, he's one of the best in the business when it comes to the goal line, and you know, getting those first downs that you just have to continue with drives. He's great at that. He knows how to. If there's a guy that knows how to get you a yard and a half for a first down, this guy still can get it done. He does that, but. You know, just don't pay those guys that kind of money just for that. You can find a guy to do that. You can teach a guy. You can get Roschon Johnson in the fourth or fifth round to do that stuff for you.
Yeah.
If that's what you're really
but
looking
Bijan
for.
Bijan Robinson would be a special type player. Oh. And you'd get him at the back end of the first round on a guaranteed 4-year deal, which is kind of where you want a running back right now.
I still don't see him being there that late.
Well,
I see somebody
that's
taking
a fair
that
point.
Chance.
You know, but as we said, I do this all. I play the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator all the time, where you can go in and play your own mock draft. And whenever you do it with the Cowboys at 26, you find out that you know the positions they need most in that, you know, at least the need positions for the Cowboys are at wide receiver, at corner, maybe not a corner now that they acquired Stephon Gilmore, but defensive interior, wide receiver, maybe
another lineman.
Maybe a tight end to replace Dalton Schultz if and when he signs away. But when you do this at 26, typically the top three wide receivers are off the board. In Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Quentin Johnston, and Jordan Addison, usually they're gone. So you can almost project that they won't be there. You know, the top interior D linemen in this draft, obviously it's the sliding now. Jalen Carter is one of the best interior linemen. Brian Brisee from Clemson. The kid Cansey from Pittsburgh, and those guys are off the board by 26. And you get to 26, typically your choice is you can have the number one running back in Bijan Robinson. You could have one of the top two tight ends in Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, typically. And then there's a guy like Zay Flowers, your guy out of Boston College, a wide receiver that would be an option there. And you got to see Boston College.
I mean, he'd be the third guy out of all these wide receivers.
He's really
third
the fourth.
Or fourth guy.
Yeah, he's fourth. I mean, the receiver rankings go Smith-Njigba from Ohio State.
Addison.
Then Jordan Addison, and then Quentin Johnston, whichever the kid from TCU, however you slot those two guys. But at 26, if the Cowboys want to get into that top three receiver group, they might have to go up a little bit. Same with the top corners on the board, but it really depends on what the Cowboys' biggest need is. But you know, they'll be dudes, and I do think there's a good chance Bijan Robinson is one of them. But as you said, you never know. Someone might jump in and say, you know what? He's too damn good.
He's too damn good. Best player on the board.
This says when Terrence Steele went down, it hurt on the run game. It did. I mean, remember the Cowboys brought in Jason Peters and Tyron Smith was hurt, and then Terrence Steele got hurt. That did hurt their run game, and they still have to get Terrence Steele signed, and they got to get him healthy because he's coming off a knee injury too. You hope Terrence Steele next year, your starting right tackle, is not like Michael Gallup was, where he's gonna have to feel his way into the season. Gosh, think about Dylan Dessou with these Longhorns. You know, you have a knee injury like that. Sometimes you can be back on the field or on the court a year later, year plus later, but it may take you 2 years before you fully really trust.
Yeah, that's what
it,
I think of Michael Gallup too. I mean, when he came back, you know, he had a couple games where he looked explosive, but then that knee just started to wear down a little bit. It just wasn't ready for that kind of action yet, and he then became that long, you know, kind of strider to get to the ball. He didn't come out of cuts real well.
He needs to be the slant guy.
The slant guy.
Because he can go get it. He will go get it. He's not afraid to throw his body in there.
He's got strong hands.
And he can get up in the air, too.
I'd love to see, well.
They need a guy that goes through the defense.
At last check, according to the insiders with the Cowboys are not involved in a conversation with DeAndre Hopkins, but I think fans and DeAndre Hopkins want the Cowboys to be involved for DeAndre Hopkins, but so far behind the scenes.
He'll be wearing that blue, go blue.
They're not. Let's get to the headlines, trending topics, then we're going to dive into our coach's corner preview tonight's big Longhorn matchup, but first the news. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with the madness. Yes, that is day one of the NCAA tournament. Of course, included several bracket-busting upsets yesterday. The second-seeded Texas Longhorns weren't one of them. They flipped the script. Rolled past 15th-seeded Colgate, 81-61 to advance to the second round. Flipping the script, meaning the Raiders came into the game as the country's best three-point shooting team, shooting over 40% from beyond the arc. But last night was the Longhorns who made it rain from long range. They had 13 three-pointers of 23 taken. That was led by Jabari Rice, who hit 7. Marcus Carr added 4. Texas defense, meanwhile, allowed Colgate to make just 3 of their 15 three-pointers en route to a 20-point win for a happy head coach Rodney Terry.
That's a really good Colgate team. I mean, they could really team. I mean, Colgate put a lot of pressure on you. I thought we did a great job tonight guarding the three-point line. They really need threes to beat you, and thought we did a great job of that. They really tried to work us in the paint a little bit, but we were okay with that. We were okay with tough twos, but no threes.
That's exactly how they executed it last night. Jabari Rice ended up leading the Horns with 23 off the bench. Marcus Carr and Dylan Asu added 17 apiece. Texas will now face Penn State in the round of 32 tomorrow night, 6:45 tip time from Des Moines. 10th-seeded Nittany Lions dismantled 7th-seeded A&M last night. Texas A&M 76-59 to advance. Again, that game 6:45 tomorrow night. Biggest upsets on day one came out west. 15-seed Princeton closed the game on a 9-0 run and stunned Arizona, the 2-seed, 59-55. Also yesterday, 13th-seeded Furman took out the 4-seed Virginia. 9-seed Auburn topped Iowa. Lower seeds survived and advanced in the other 11 games, including routes for the top seed Kansas Jayhawks and Alabama Crimson Tide. Fairly easy wins for UCLA and Duke. 4th-seeded Tennessee got a scare. For Rick Barnes, they held off Louisiana, though, 58-55. Top-seeded Houston Cougars in the Midwest pulled away late from Northern Kentucky, but not all good news there. They may have lost their All-American point guard, Marcus Sasser. He re-aggravated his injured groin early in that game, didn't play the rest of the way. 16 more games on tap today. First game at 11:15. We'll get to some of those feature games coming up. Women's tournament tips off tomorrow, including the 4th-seeded Texas Longhorn women facing 13th-seed East Carolina. That's an opening round game at Moody Center. Tips at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Also on the 40 Acres this weekend, Surging Texas Baseball will open a three-game set with the University of New Orleans at the Dish. Game one tonight, 6:30. Tomorrow, 2:30. 1 o'clock on Sunday. In free agency in the NFL, headlines are the Chicago Bears. They signed former Green Bay Packers tight end Robert Tonyan and lifetime Longhorn running back Deontay Foreman, both the one-year deals. The Eagles reached an agreement with their star cornerback Darius Slay, three-year contract extension. The Eagles also signed their quarterback Marcus Mariota to a one-year deal after their backup Gardner Minshew signed with Indianapolis.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, Ed, the team for the Dallas Cowboys, the player that they need is like a guy like Jordan Addison. They need a guy who can go through coverage and be consistent in just catching those balls too. I mean, where do you find those guys? Like last year, didn't Christian Kirk get there last year?
In Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude can get through coverage and he can catch the ball too. You know, everybody thought he was going to be overpaid. He was worth his money.
No, I mean, Addison would be nice. I don't know that he'll be there at 26, but maybe. I mean, there's a chance because remember,
if I wanted to move up for a guy to move up with, that he'd be the guy. That's what they need. That's that missing piece for them, I believe. Well, a speedster through the middle.
I mean, I think you can read mock drafts, but I think Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State's going to be a top 10 pick, maybe top 12 pick. Houston would have
to consider
him.
He's going first, though. He's going to be gone before that.
If you would look at his combine work and his film, he's Justin Jefferson all over again. I mean, he's Justin Jefferson who's quickly emerged as one of the best two or three receivers in the league, maybe the best with the Minnesota Vikings.
People, he's all around because he's got speed and he's getting catch and he's big on the outside.
Well, Smith and Jigba's quickness is his thing, man. He showed straight out speed at the combine. Well, he didn't run the 40. He's going to run the 40 at his pro day at Columbus, but he showed elite quickness.
Yeah, and Ty, the kid Brown's just not enough for the Cowboys. I mean, he's that little nice piece. Every once in a while, he'll catch a ball, but he's not 17 games going through the coverage, you know?
Who are we talking about?
Noah Brown?
Noah Brown's a Texan, by the way.
He's gone. You got him now?
Noah. Oh, yeah. Noah Brown is a Texan.
I kind of miss him just deal. A wee bit.
Yeah, that's another guy Dak liked.
That's what I'm saying. Those miss him a little bit if he's not there. Who will go through the coverage for them now? Who will be their guy?
I don't know what you mean by that, go through the coverage. I mean, what you do as a wide receiver, you run through the other
guys. I'm not talking about on the outside. I'm talking about the slide guy that's going to catch and run for him.
Maybe Jalen Tolbert shows up this year.
Yeah, well, that would
that's what they wanted him to be.
Well, in an ideal world, if they traded for someone like DeAndre Hopkins, they could move CeeDee Lamb back into the slot a little bit. That's where he's, to me, most effective. But he showed he could be an outside receiver as well. Gallup is going to be an outside receiver. Jordan Addison would be nice. I mean, his only knock, if there was one, he went to the combine and ran 4.55. He didn't show the elite speed from the wide receiver position, but watch him on film. Guy could play at Pittsburgh and then at USC, so that would be nice. And then there's Quentin Johnston, who's he's more of an outside receiver. Smith and Jigba would be the elite player at that position, but
he's
really seen as the only one. There's another kid who I really like. If you watched him play at the University of Houston, Nathaniel Dell,
right?
That dude
caught
is
a lot of balls,
lightning quick.
Yes.
That guy is really good, and he's a guy you could probably get in the second round, like pick 56. You're looking at Tank Dell. From the University of Houston. That's a name to watch.
By the way, somebody's taking the Houston quarterback, too, somewhere.
Clayton Tune, that'll be late.
Yeah.
Sixth round, fifth round, somewhere on there. Yeah, he'll get a look for sure. Hey, let's dive into your coach's corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultation, avconsultations.com online.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
Never do. All right, Longhorns, a nice win last night, as we talked about. I mean, the execution was the word for me, just efficient. Did exactly what you wanted to do. I mean, this is one of the, how many times do we see a Texas team or any team that you root for and you think, okay, we got to stop this. Then they get in the game and it's like, guys, we had to stop that. What are we doing? In this case, you knew you had to stop the three ball. You heard Rodney Terry in the update. That was the goal, and they outshot a shooting team in Colgate, 13 three-pointers made to three. They won really in every facet. They've got great guard play. They got great interior play from Dylan Dessou again with 17 points and 10 boards. Just a solid game. Better team won by 20. Now, you turn the page to Penn State, Buck. And here's the thing about Penn State. You know, we were all amped up about the potential for the Texas A&M matchup, but that didn't happen. Penn State, speaking of execution, they dismantled and out-executed Texas A&M last night. How about this? The coach for Penn State and the game plan that they put together, Texas A&M shot 34 three-pointers last night. 34. Like, what are you, Alabama now? I mean, you guys don't shoot threes at that rate, but that's just the great defense that Penn State, team defense that Penn State played on them, and it forced them to become a jump-shooting team, kept them off the foul line, which they thrive at, kept them out of the lane. That was just a really good coaching job by Penn State. But the other part
of
it is—
And
they brought the funk. There's no question about that. And, well, the thing with Penn State is this. Here's why you like it if you're Texas. They're a very similar team on paper to Colgate. They're very perimeter-oriented. They're driven by their point guard, Jalen Pickett, who's
which you don't have All-American. To double. You don't have to double him because you got good enough defenders.
Well, that's where the Aggies kept getting hurt because he as a big guard, right? He's a big 6'4 guard, and he will post up and back down your guards. And then A&M, over and over again, kept bringing a double team. And, you know, then he would kick it, as a point guard will, and would find an open shooter. And all too often it was the guy Funk, who made eight of them. Buzz Williams, the Aggies coach, was pretty frustrated afterwards with the poor rotation that they had when they did double. But the reason I say they're a lot like Colgate is they're one of these teams who are really a good offense. They're top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency. They've got three senior guards led by the All-American Pickett. You know, they got four of their five starters are seniors, so they're a veteran team, much like Colgate was. They're sixth in the nation in three-pointers made per game, over 10, about 10.4. But then, much like Colgate, Buck, they're number 122 in scoring defense. Defensive efficiency, they're outside the top 120. So, same game plan for Rodney Terry. You have to play great perimeter defense, like you did last night against Colgate. If you do, you're going to score on this team. You're going to get your buckets, right? You're going to make points because they're not that good on defense.
Yeah, they have to defend you.
The Longhorns, their strength is that they're right around the top 10 in the country in both offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. Meanwhile, there's a major flaw in the Penn State game, and that's their defense. So Texas has to be on point defensively, especially on the perimeter, defensive rotations. If they do, they'll just outscore this team. And again, how about this number for them offensively? They're fourth in the nation in turnovers per game, so they don't turn the ball over much with those senior guards in the backcourt, nine a game. But they average about 72 points a game. If you keep them 72 or under, the Longhorns, as we've told you, are undefeated this year when their opponents are 72 points or fewer.
Yeah, you have to reel in their little streaks that they'll have from shooting from the outside.
And it's also fair to say to Penn State that their body of work is full, right? I mean, this is for the entire year, but their last 15 games, right, they won 8 of their last 10. They beat the Aggies last night, so they're playing their best basketball right now under a second-year head coach. But the Longhorns are just – they're more complete. They're more complete. And if they play like they did last night with the efficiency and, Jabari Rice doing what he does, the Longhorns will be fine in this game.
But, yeah, because they'll have to defend. They'll lose a little strength, Eve, by having to go out and defend themselves.
Yeah. Well, that's what you want to do to a team that's mostly offense, not a lot of defense. Make them defend, right? Mm-hmm. Wear their guards out with your own guards and then D them up on the defensive end. And I think the Longhorns have the opportunity to do that with the depth that they have, right? They run 8-9 deep. You could even – the thing about, you could even get Arterio Morris on the floor in this game, the freshman, because he is elite athlete and elite defender, which you're going to need in this game against the perimeter-oriented three-point shooting of Penn State. And someone's got to pick it, the All-American. I don't know, is that going to be Marcus Carr? Is that going to be Tyrese Hunter? Tyrese Hunter was a Big 12 all-defensive player as a freshman. He's probably the guy that gets the assignment on the All-American point guard.
I think I would do that. I just don't need him shooting up his threes.
But as we say with this, coming from the Big 12, this team will be a lot like Baylor, right? They'll be a lot like Baylor. The Baylor Bears are a guard-dominated team with really good guard play, but
they will remind you of Baylor. You're right.
And just like Baylor, Penn State, triple digits in defense. Baylor's triple digits in defense, so you can score on them, and that's where the Longhorns have to make their bones. But they got to bring that.
Dude, and they're not afraid to shoot the threes from anywhere. That's just the way they play the game.
That's right. Yeah, they're sixth in the nation in three pointers made per game. Penn State, but that was the recipe for Colgate last night, and the Longhorns held them to three. They shot 15 of them. They made only three, and that's because of really, really good defense. Now, this is fair to say for Penn State versus Colgate. They're a more athletic version of Colgate.
They'll try to go to they'll go to the basket more.
Well, the stats would tell you that they're 349th in the nation in free throws made per game at 9 a game. They don't actually go to the basket that often, but they may have to in this game. Yeah, 350, not good. They're also not a very good rebounding team, Penn State. So, it's obviously a team the Longhorns can find advantages against, 2-seed versus a 10, but you cannot let Jalen Pickett get going.
The one thing the Horns have been doing lately is they're putting the ball up on the rim and going to get it, too. Everybody's going to get it.
Yeah, they're just playing well. I mean, the thing that jumps off to me for Rodney Terry's team, and it has for the last week, ever since that game at TCU, that really disappointing Wednesday night loss where they got out-rebounded like crazy and really just looked like they were out-physicaled by TCU, which I know – kind of embarrassed that team. They've been really good. I mean, they followed that up with two tough and hard practices. They beat Kansas on the Saturday to close out the regular season. We know they swept through the Big 12 tournament, and they win last night. And in all those games, they've held the opponent to 60 points or fewer, and they've just been really physical. And
they've been physical on the offensive end, too.
Yeah, like the style of play they're playing with the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And if they play like that, they'll be too much for Penn State tomorrow night. 6:45 is the tip time. But you got to go execute. But Rodney Terry and the Longhorns, they have a chance to play into the second weekend. First time this program will have done that in 15 years. 15 years. It's been all the way back to 2008. Be a nice thing to see the Longhorns into the Sweet 16. But
plus, it's nice to play a team very similar to what you just played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Built a lot the same way.
Yep.
But the young coach is a really, really good coach. We'll extend our coach's corner coming up on the other side, get to know their head coach, because he's a Brad Stevens disciple from Butler and coached with him with the Boston Celtics. So it's going to be a very, on-point, well-coached, fundamentally sound basketball team with a lot of experience at Penn State. We'll be back. B&E with you. We'll get the hot or not topics for the end of the hour. Having fun on this St. Patrick's Day. Top of the morning to you.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
The sights and sounds of St. Patrick's Day, also the sights and sounds of March Madness. But you hear some of that coming up. Dak Prescott weighing in on his good buddy Zeke Elliott, no longer with the Dallas Cowboys. And how do you figure the plight of Virginia head basketball coach Tony Bennett, Buck? How about this guy? I wonder why I'm talking about a feast or famine guy. 2018, yesterday, the day yesterday, March the 16th, 5 years ago, in 2018, Virginia, his Cavaliers lost as a one seed to the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, or whatever that was.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
The next year, in 2019, they won the Natty, won the whole dang thing, beat Chris Beard and the Texas Tech Red Raiders in the Natty game. Then the tournament was canceled in 2020. In 21, lost as a four seed to a 13. Then they played in the NIT in 22. And then yesterday, lost as a four seed with Virginia to the 13th seeded Furman, whatever they're called.
What are the Furmans?
The Paladins.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Not the Mark Furmans?
No.
Can we play some of this? I got to play you this audio. So there are good announcers for March Madness, but I'm a big fan of Kevin Harlan. You know, Kevin Harlan gets it going. Well, this game yesterday, 68-67, Furman beat Furman pulled the big upset of Virginia. And the big play, the game swung on a terrible turnover as the a senior player for Virginia, Kahi Clark, just listen to Kevin Harlan call the play here.
I'm with Cedric on the best free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight jacket.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. Ping, Pegues. Goal! Furman leads. Timeout, Virginia. Did we just see what we think we just saw? Wow.
Craziness. So they're pressing. Right, and Virginia's up too, 67-65. They're trying to get fouled, run out the clock, 25 seconds to go, and this guy, he just heaves and throws it like a Hail Mary, and the Furman player just intercepts it and cruises it down and knocks down a three, and everybody on Virginia's going, "What are you doing? He just threw that. What are you doing? Why would you throw it there?" And,
they not have any timeouts or anything?
He did everything about that was wrong. I mean, they had the ball, the lead by two, and 25 seconds to go. He gets trapped in the baseline corner and then just throws this Hail Mary pass.
I think he thought that, like, the time was going to run out if he threw it up or something.
When he got the ball, there were 25 seconds, weren't there? Or no, okay, there were about 10 seconds on the clock. Okay, so that makes sense.
Well, dude,
I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter until they touch the ball. So
there were 10 seconds when he got the ball. And they're going to foul you. So just a terrible decision. Virginia goes down. Furman is a winner. Then later in the day, it was the mighty Princeton Tigers taking down the Arizona Wildcats in a 15-2. The two big upsets of day one of this tournament.
None today.
As I told you, I texted my nephew, Shea, who goes to the University of Arizona. He was all excited because my son and him are good buddies, and Nolan's all for Texas as a two seed. Shea's all for Arizona, so of course they were talking smack, and then Arizona goes down to Princeton, and I texted him, and you know what he said? He said, "Biden jinxed us. Blame it on Biden."
My next door neighbor screwed us.
Yeah, Biden, because of course Joe Biden, the president, put out his bracket and had Arizona winning the whole thing. So they're mad at Biden now, out at Arizona.
Never Arizona.
All right, let's hear from Dak Prescott. Here he was yesterday. The media caught up with Dak. His first comment since the obviously release of Ezekiel Elliott. The two came into the team and were drafted to the team on the same year, same draft. And here's Dak yesterday.
Tough to say it's sweet right now, honestly, and that's just what those guys mean to me, you know what I mean? And you create these relationships, and that's what makes you play the way you do, or the relationships that you build within the organization, within your team, whether it's with the coaches or whether it's with the teammates. And so I know the sweet is coming. I know it's coming. Very optimistic guy, don't get me wrong. And change is good, as I've always said that. But it's tough for me to see it in this moment. But I know it's coming, and I'm excited for when it does.
He's kind of excited for where his future is.
He's trying to say both. You know, he understands change comes. But
somebody's going to want him.
He's down for his buddy. And, he and Zeke are good friends. There's no doubt about that. And that's the business part of the business is it's just how it goes. And,
they can still be friends.
They can still be friends.
That's true.
That's exactly right. They can still be good friends.
When one dude's washing windows and the other guy's throwing picks, sure, why not? They can still be buddies.
I read and saw a lot of people talking about Zeke, and I'll say this because I know, on this show and other shows, Zeke becomes kind of an easy punching bag because of some of the stuff that has happened. But Dude, that guy's leadership in that locker room is going to be missed. That guy was one of the pillars of the foundation of leadership for that team. And, you know, Ty, you'll defend him and know this, that, you know, the off-field stuff where he, you know, his dogs, he had the groping incident, he had some, you know, the off-field issues.
Oh, he was immature when he first came into the league.
He was immature when he got here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from player across the board, coaches, they understand this is one of the guys who led this team and was a physical and emotional leader of the team. They'll miss some of that from Zeke Elliott. And I think they have to realize that. Moving forward. But yes, production versus paycheck was not in balance.
At this time for the Dallas Cowboys, it's about production.
That's right. Well, and it's about making good financial decisions.
Yes.
Signing Zeke in the first place to the big contract was not good because, you know, that put him in a pickle that they're dealing with right now. All right, so the kid who got trapped on the baseline, Kahee Clark. This goes down. This play for Virginia Buck goes down with, like, what do we got? Chris Webber timeout. Now, that was in the national championship game. Which
that's way worse.
Because that's a natty game, and they call a timeout when you don't have one. But I mean, you can't just throw it up for grabs when you have the ball in control and a two-point lead under 10 seconds to play.
See, I'd like to know if they had a timeout and he didn't use a timeout. I mean, but that part of the game,
tell you right now,
they must not have had a timeout. Because there's just no way you'd heave that like that.
Well, do anything. Knock it off the guy's leg out of the bounce. I mean, do anything but what you did, which gave them not just the ball, but he was wide open, and there was no one to guard him at that point. And
it looks like they did have a timeout.
Well, then that's dumb. That's not being prepared. You have to be able to call it. If you're in that gym, you call timeout.
Yeah, he got trapped. But, I mean, to jump backwards and to throw it as far as you can towards the middle of the field or the middle of the court, not a good idea. And it got them upset. They probably might have won the game.
Yeah, your coach may scream at you and yell at you, why would you use a timeout? And then you can go and scream back at the coach.
Well, like
because I
left.
Needed to, coach. I didn't have any place to throw. I'll call the timeout so we can regroup rather than have them do what happened right there. You use that timeout.
Yeah, with under 10 seconds, what do you got? You got to get it across the half court line, right? You got to get it across mid court.
They're going to foul you. As soon as you get it, they're going to foul you anyway.
Yeah, they're going to foul you because the clock's going to run out. So
I call timeout, then the next guy to take the ball out is not me. It's somebody else.
His decision was the worst decision.
Yeah.
And it cost them that game. If he makes really any other decision, they still might have won the ball game. What he did was killer. Also, we have a new a crying meme that is out.
No,
if you like the memes, you know, like the Michael Jordan crying meme. There is a Utah State.
It's the best when they're
blonde
it's a cheerleader.
Yeah,
it's always the best when it's a cheerleader.
It's yeah, well,
or a little kid.
I like this one because she's got these puffy lips and blue eyes, and she's crying because her Utah State team
puppy
lost.
Lips. That's decent.
What do you mean,
puppy lips? I like that.
Puffy.
Oh, puffy lips.
Yeah, because she's welling up. You know, she's crying because her team lost. Her bracket is busted, and you know. That'll be a meme you'll see. Nothing will ever beat the Michael Jordan crying meme, but it's a good one. It's a good one. You got to have the memes.
Or any sooner crying.
Any sooner crying.
Yes.
Hey, coming up, we're going to get some hot or not topics. We're also going to hear from some of the Longhorns who participated last night in a strong performance, 81-61. And Longhorns remain undefeated this year when they hold their opponents under 72 points. And last night, a team that averages nearly 80 points in Colgate scored just 61. The Longhorn defense continues to be good. Also, Buck, Dylan Dessous. I mean, Jabari Rice gets a lot of accolades, and rightfully so, because he came in stroking it last night. He was unbelievable from deep. But Dylan Dessous has really, late in this season, changed his team from a team that didn't really have an interior presence to a team that all of a sudden has a strong interior presence, like tournament most outstanding player in the Big 12 tournament. Last night, 17 points and 10 rebounds. It takes Texas from good team to a team who potentially could play all the way to the Final Four and beyond because we know the guard plays there and we know the experience is there. Dylan Dessous has become an X factor for the Longhorns that has raised their ceiling. Is that fair to say?
No, there's no doubt. I mean, expectations from Jabari Rice is that he was going to do what he's been doing.
Yeah.
He was going to stay consistent.
This guy's been the most consistent player all year for Texas, off the bench or whenever he's playing. Because as Jabari Rice said, when they recruited him to be the sixth man, when Rodney Terry and the staff recruited him from New Mexico State.
Yeah, I'm going to finish games.
He said, yeah, I'll come off the bench, but I'm going to finish the game.
Yeah.
I'll be a finisher.
I'll be a finisher. I'll be there at the end.
You love that confidence. And, you know, because they had Tyrese Hunter and Marcus Carr already in the fold. And that's the confidence he plays with. But, yeah, it's really the thing that flips for Texas is Dylan Dessou. He didn't play this well all year. He played okay. But, man, speaking of switches flipping, mid-February, this guy became a confident, low-post presence for the Longhorns that just changes them. It makes them not just perimeter-oriented, but also he can really be a force down low.
Yeah, and I would think Longhorn fans would think, oh, no, we have to have Timmy Allen really play really well. I don't know if that's necessarily true now.
No, Dylan Mitchell has taken over that mantle. I mean, last night Timmy Allen scored 4 points in 20 minutes. Dylan Dessou in 21 minutes scored 17.
I think Timmy Allen had 4 rebounds, maybe 5 rebounds, but he had 4 nice assists or 5 nice assists. But he didn't. He's not the guy you're looking to score any longer.
Well, think about it.
I mean, he was in there slugging it out with guys, but you know his frame last night. He was in there amongst the trees.
Yeah. Well, listen. In the Big 12 tournament championship game against Kansas, Dylan Dessou scored 18 points in 21 minutes. Last night in 21 minutes, he scored 17 points. He grabbed 10 rebounds. He had an assist and a block. I mean, he's
aggressive too, but he plays aggressive.
Yeah. And then you combine what he did, Dylan Dessou, last night with Christian Bishop, who played 18 minutes and scored 8 points, had 5 rebounds, blocked a shot. Those two bigs all of a sudden are playing at a really high level. And they'll be important tonight, or tomorrow night, I should say, because Penn State is a very, very similar to Colgate, a perimeter
that ball will be up on
team.
The rim, so you have to go get those. You have to get those rebounds. You have to be the one and that's what I like about Dessou. He goes crazy for the, and so does Bishop. Those guys head to the boards with Cunningham, and everybody rebounds on this basketball team, which is good to see.
Ever since
Rice goes to the boards too. They all rebound really, really well, and that's what I like about this team, the way they scrap for the ball.
Yeah, certainly since that TCU game when they got out-rebounded 48-25.
Ever since that game, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the 4-game or 5-game win streak that they're on right now.
But there was a time, I believe, and I may be wrong, that Dylan Dessou, I didn't see for a kind of long period of time in that first half. And I think Colgate was starting to throw the ball down low, and those guys they started to muscle a little bit of everybody one-on-one. The big guys for Colgate were just hitting, you know, bank shots and getting kind of layups. They were walking guys down into the lane.
Well, you heard Rodney and Terry say, you'll hear him again. They were willing to give up tough twos.
So that's what I mean. Yeah, they were getting tough twos.
They were willing to give the paint and give up, you know, they
were
not
getting a lot of fouls and not getting foul trouble.
They didn't want foul shots and they didn't want, you know, to have to double team. And
the Dylan Dessou, was he in foul? Did he get a couple of early fouls? Is that why he was sitting early? I mean, I don't.
He had 3 fouls with the game when the game ended. So,
okay.
But yeah, 21 minutes for Dylan, but that's because Christian Bishop plays 18. They pretty much split the 40 minutes, and you know
Brock Cunningham was just in there doing what he does.
23 minutes for Brock. We'll
be
back.
Perfect game for him.
Hit the hot or not. We'll also hear from Texas Hoops, Rodney Terry, and the Longhorns as they advance. I'll also preview your weekend. It's a busy one for sure. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
What's hot? And what's not?
What's Hot, What's Not is brought to you by Texas Orthopedics, the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. Visit us at txortho.com to learn more and to schedule an appointment.
Hot or not? Well, if you've been outside already this morning, you know it's not hot outside. It's cold. Temperatures in the low 40s and a gusty wind will make it feel much colder than that. And that's going to be the case all day today. Clouds and cool and wind on this St. Patrick's Day. I kind of feel like Ireland today. Kind of feel like the Emerald Isle outside today. So enjoy your St. Patrick's Day, however you're going to do so. Watching basketball is a good option. Remember the midday show today. Chad and Zay will be out at the Twin Peaks South location. Harge and Rod were out at the North location in Round Rock yesterday. Today it's a midday show off of Stastny, right there at the corner, Stastny and 35. That's where they'll be posting up watching basketball noon to 3 today. Longhorns will play tonight at 6:45 with a 6 o'clock start time. And we came in this morning, which I anticipated, to a lot of text messages about why can't I find Craig on the stream. Remember, not our fault here, but you know, if you've been listening to Texas basketball on our app, on our Horn app all year through the UT Sports tab, for the March Madness, you've got to download a different app. It's and it's at our website. You just go to hornfm.com. It'll give you all the details, but it is a different app to be able to listen to the stream. We didn't change it. don't shoot the messengers on this, but you've got to go download that app to be able to listen to it live. But it's really easy to do. I will just tell you that. And so all you have to do, if you're used to doing that, is go to our website, get all the details, and that's how you'll find the bracket. It's going to be important to you as you get this thing going. Also, Buck, on a hot or not, you see, you mentioned this to me, Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, man.
The world's number one golfer.
That's what I'm calling the dinner, E.
He has, I guess he's sent his dinner request, because as the champion, the Masters champion golfer of the year, you get to choose dinner for the champion's dinner and set the menu for the following year. And are we ready for this? Scottie Scheffler, who is the club champion.
I don't like my dinner all fancied up. I'm just wanting to eat and get out.
It's a lot of food, man. You're going to start with some appetizers, cheeseburger sliders.
There you go.
Served Scotty style.
Look out.
I don't know what that is. Firecracker shrimp, which sounds yummy.
Mm-hmm.
With some sriracha mayo. Ooh, yeah. Mm, come on now. Sweet Thai chili and sriracha mayo, firecracker shrimp. Tortilla soup, which sounds really yummy. And then Texas ribeye steak or blackened redfish. You have that choice, one or the other. A little ribeye from the great state.
Some redfish.
Or some redfish. What would you go with there? You'd go with the blackened redfish, I got to assume.
I'd go with that damn ribeye.
Ooh.
I can go get some fish anytime.
Also be served with some family-style mac and cheese, some jalapeno cream corn, fried Brussels sprouts, and seasonal fries with your choice of protein.
What we got
protein.
For dessert? What's Scotty doing for dessert?
Warm chocolate chip skillet cookie.
I don't know what that is. I mean, is that one you just put that skillet in the oven?
Yeah, you cook it in a skillet. It's just like a great big chocolate chip cookie. I'm sure it's real gooey.
Okay, I'm
sure
good with that.
It's real gooey. You get some ice cream in
that
thing.
We got a little side of ice cream there.
By the way, that app that you need to download for Texas basketball is called the Varsity app, the Varsity Net app. It's there at our website. All the details explained, because we want you to be able to hear the game on your app if you're traveling for spring break and keep up with Craig and be able to listen to it.
Sliders are about that bun, though, E.
I like sliders.
About that bun.
I mean, those Hawaiian rolls.
There you go.
Yeah, man. T.Y., what do you have for us in Hot or Not on St. Patrick's Day? I know I just made you very hungry because you said you were already hungry. Now I just read through the menu.
Yeah, it was a little distracting. Don't have too much today. Yesterday, news broke that Chicago Bulls guard Lonzo Ball will be undergoing a cartilage transplant procedure.
That's
and his career is in jeopardy. Because
is that like his third surgery of the year?
He hasn't played at all this year.
Yeah, that knee seems like it's shot. He needs some QC kinetics or something.
Back there playing with his dad in the backyard all those years.
This guy says, hey, y'all know what's not hot? Aggie basketball. Poor Aggies.
It's not a basketball school.
What is it?
It's a football school. Isn't it? No?
Sheep herding competitions.
Also not hot, and speaking of bad breaks, the Edwin Diaz, the all-star closer of the Mets, MRI came back.
Yeah, it tore it all up.
Patella tendon. Out
That's
for
a
the year. Out for the year. Celebrating a win at the World Baseball Classic. Tough for the Mets. All right, we'll pick it up on the other side. Here from Rodney Terry, Longhorns. Nice win last night. Efficient, solid, did everything they needed to do to advance. Win by 20. We'll get you all the details coming up. It's B&E on the Horn.